The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
And it's episode 525, the first episode of 2018.
And the last.
Yeah, that's it. That's the end of Beyond for 2018.
It's great having you by.
We had a good run. It was a whole 2.5 days. My name is Max Scoville, and I'm joined today by Alana Pierce.
Hi.
Zach Ryan.
Hello.
I had a brain fart.
Are you guys mad at each other?
The year's turning.
Did you forget about
Marty Sleva?
Hi. Welcome.
Yeah. It's a fun fact about Zach's. My last producer was named Zach Miner, and he now works over at PlayStation. This is actually like a weird... We were at PSX a couple weeks ago. He was one of the guys who was in charge of organizing that whole big live stage show we did.
Oh, yeah.
And it was weird to be like, I was hanging out with dudes named Zach who do video
organize
stuff.
Organize live shows?
So organize big, important things.
You know
things,
how,
yeah.
Like, a lot of people say that there's names that you can give to people that define their profession?
Yeah, like Henry.
Yeah, or like how some, you know, some people, like, you, if you're born with a name like Chaz, you're probably just, like, destined to be a stripper. All Zachs are producers.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Legally obligated.
Yeah. Wasn't Chucky Finster's dad named Chaz?
Chaz Studebaker. Yeah.
So he may have been a stripper.
Yes. Definitely.
He was pretty depressed.
He was definitely a sexual deviant.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, God, yeah. Chucky, got some scrums. I got to count all these 50s I got.
we've got a very slow news week today because a lot of people are still on vacation. It's the beginning of the year. But we figured this would be a good chance to kind of talk about what our, you know, 2018 expectations, and more importantly, what is our 2018 video game resolution?
Man.
Do not say 4K or 1080p or any that resolution joke.
We were talking about a video that was in a game that it was in 120 FPS today, and it gave me an anxiety attack.
That sounds upsetting.
It was a MOBA that you could play on your phone, but only like three phones can handle 120 FPS. That's just so much happening.
Who thought that was a good idea?
I don't know.
It's really like when you just tape three iPhone X's together, and then you have 120 frames per second.
I really don't like it. I don't like it at all.
So what are your guys' like video game resolutions for 2018? I think the obvious one is sort of the backlog, obviously.
Yeah. Just,
I feel like 2017, more than any year prior, I feel like I did a really good job of keeping up on stuff. I think I played more games in 2017 than I had in the last couple of years before that.
Yeah, you gave me like tremendous amounts of anxiety because you're always playing the games.
I was just like keeping up on stuff. Like, and I finished Horizon right before Zelda came out, and I felt good about that. And I finished Zelda quickly, and I felt, well, I still haven't finished Zelda.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're a liar. Yeah.
No, well, I did
also
everything.
Quickly. You've been playing it for like the entire year.
Well, I'm done. Close.
He's talking about Horizon, the only game that matters on the PlayStation show.
No, that's not true. So I finished Persona.
I think I will say that you were really good about getting through a lot of stuff this year. And I was always like Max said, I was always kind of surprised when you're like, yeah, I already played that. I was like, what? When?
Yeah.
My thing this year is not to sleep on smaller games. Last year I did play Edith Finch that I really loved. But going back through our best of lists. I missed things like Pyre. I didn't play Pyre, which is a bummer. I didn't play
Nightmares Lost You.
Little
Nightmares.
Really,
I didn't play Night in the Woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the three games that are just universally beloved and praised, and I just totally slept on them. So I think this year, along with my backlog, I want to make sure that I'm giving ample time or equal time to bigger games and smaller games that people are really enjoying.
Yeah, so. I think we're trying to do a better job. Like Miranda and Chloe have sort of been trying to launch a way for us to make sure that everyone, at least most of the people on IGN on the staff, are caught up every couple months on the big stuff. So it's not like, well, at the end of the year, only five of us played Nier. So when people are talking about best story or best music, there's only a couple people talking about Nier, whereas the entire office played Mario. So it's sort of, you know, a little bit slanted.
Yeah, like I'm so pissed. I completely slept on Nier. I didn't touch it, you know? And it's like there was a copy floating around, but I kept being like, I'll get to that. And like that and Wolfenstein 2 are the big ones that I didn't really get any time
with. Those are like my 2 and 3 forgive me. Yeah. Like both incredible.
I played the first couple hours of Nier and absolutely loved it and have had it on in the back of my head to go back and finish it, and I just haven't been able to.
I don't think the first couple of hours are very good. Yeah. But the idea that you're like, I played the first couple of hours and loved it and didn't keep playing is insane. It gets so much better.
Mm. So I've heard.
Very good game.
Yeah. Mostly from you, I've heard that.
So. Yeah, I've probably said that quite a few times to you. I want to finish Persona 5 because I started playing that finally. So I want to finish that. But other than that, I actually want to play more multiplayer games this year. Like, I played a bit of PUBG, but I want to get back into Rainbow Six Siege and like online services that I feel like, you know, these games that keep being updated that I'm like, oh, well, I played it on launch, but I haven't picked it up since. And I want to do more of that.
Are you playing that on PS4 or Xbox?
Siege?
Yeah.
I have accounts on both, actually. Okay. Yeah.
I was actually, somebody just asked me about that and if I'd played it. And that's a game I'm really curious about because it's so like, I love the idea of these like little kind of claustrophobic, almost just these mini matches.
Well, and matches are super quick.
Yeah.
So
they're
like
also
totally
just very intense and easy for you to pick up and put down. But like, I'd like to put more time into Overwatch because I didn't play a ton of it in 2017 or even like GTA Online. I want to play more online games. Like interspersed between the single player experiences.
But. I mean, it sucks because like we typically cover games leading up to launch and then at launch, and that's not how games work anymore.
Right.
I mean, like
Siege especially.
Yeah.
It just keeps being updated and made better, and it's very impressive. And every time I go back to it, I'm like, wow, this is good, but I never stay back in it. And I just want to make sure I do that.
It's insane that we got like a whole entire new thing for GTA that's like, hey, it's James Bond stuff. It's Dr. Evil Secret Lair. And you're like, last time I played that, I like bought like a crappy like beachside apartment or something.
Yeah. I'm so interested in how GTA Online is going to continue once Red Dead's out, which I don't think Red Dead's gonna be out till the fall. But like, and if Red Dead's gonna launch with Red Dead Online, because obviously GTA Online, like GTA launched without online.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's almost the same system for launch, because I know part of it was that they wanted to make sure that everyone knew the mechanics before going into online, so it wasn't just a mess. And you had to play that tutorial mission before you could even go online.
Yeah.
So I can imagine them doing that like week or 2 week lead in, but it would be insane for them to not continue supporting GTA Online when it has more players right now than it's ever had before, and they're making $500 million off of shock cards. You know, it just, they have to keep supporting it. I don't think that Red Dead will eclipse it either. I feel like that they're probably different enough. Like maybe some people will split off, but
a lot of people really hate games with horses and they only like the cars.
But the idea of like, the idea of taking the GTA model of heists and putting it in a Wild West setting is so much more appealing to me than the stuff that you do in GTA 5. Like I dabbled with online back at launch in 2013. But the idea of like jumping online with the four of you guys and trying to rob a train while it's on the move and coordinating that is so much more exciting.
But you know what we can't do? Play tennis.
You could do Wild West tennis.
No,
probably it doesn't exist.
You played it with pine cones back then. So
Was the ball the pine cone?
Yes, obviously.
Yeah. And the stick was the pine cone.
It was incredibly frowned upon.
It was just juggling.
And people would be shot on sight for playing tennis.
Oh no! That's how Wild Bill Hickok died.
Yeah.
The tennis.
But I loved playing like Liar's Dice and stuff like that in Red Dead, and it would be cool to be able to do that online.
I want
to
play like Snake in a Boot.
I'm sorry, what?
Snake in a Boot.
No.
Yeah, there was like an old... Yeah.
No.
Snake in the Boot.
You're not playing that.
No.
It's not a game.
I think Snake in the Boot's a game.
You're not playing Snake in the Boot.
Why I know
not?
They had the one way you had to throw the whole shoe.
Somebody poisoned the water hole.
In line with what you were saying, I think that one of the things that I also want to do this year is play games that sort of take me out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You and I had talked about playing Monster Hunter.
I'm definitely going to do that. Let's do that together.
Like, that's something that like, playing more online, playing more cooperative games, also like playing more with the communities that I'm involved in. So like reaching out to the Beyond community, reaching out to the NVC groups and being like, who's playing this? Who wants to jump on? You know, like we did a couple of Mario Kart cups and we did a couple of Splatoon things over the break. And it's just a lot of fun to get into a room with 30 people that you know. Okay, great. Let's pair up. Yeah. And
Destiny
go
was the only online game I got into this year.
Yeah.
I still like chipped away at playing Battlefield 1. Like I got the season pass for that and I love that game. And I was like, what did I play this year? And that was like, that was my fun game. That was a game that I was just playing for the hell of it and because I enjoyed it. And I mean, that's, you know, we've talked about this, but the sort of the bittersweet thing of trying to like cover every game as it comes out is that there's this sense of like, no matter what you're playing, you're not playing something else and you're missing out on something else. But it's also kind of cool to be like, oh, like all the initial hype kind of died down and the only people playing this game are the ones who legitimately care about it. That's cool. That's really fun.
Yeah.
What like gun to your head, what's the one game you're excited for most this year?
Spider-Man.
I think mine's Spider-Man.
I'm Red Dead.
That's Red Dead's the very close. It's Dead, one of the Spider-Man, two. The only reason I say no to Red Dead is like I think the delays like kind of baited me a bit. Like I think because it was delayed and we don't have a release date that I've kind of been like I'm less excited.
But I mean, we haven't even seen gameplay though. Like, that's what's so cool is that like I love that they keep that. I mean, exactly. They keep it so under wraps. Like if you told me that like Insomniac was doing a Spider-Man game and they were like, here's like a little sizzle reel for it, I'd be like, that looks very nice and I would love to play it when it comes out. But the fact that they're sort of been, you know, stringing us along with little bits of inside information and like I know the actual experience will be good, but I can already feel myself getting that kind of hype fatigue where I've been excited about it for too long and I'm like kind of almost as like self-preservation kind of backing away from it.
I don't feel that way about Spider-Man at all, but I did start to feel that way at the very end of the marketing cycle for Horizon Zero Dawn because I felt like we were seeing so many similar things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were seeing so many similar fights and environments that I was like, okay, you need to just give me this game.
Spider-Man,
I'm still like, I want to play all of this.
No, I mean, that we walk a kind of a weird line here because we do have to cover stuff as it's being announced and like new things that we're excited for, but at the same time to kind of back off from something and be like, all right, I'm sold, I'll come back when it's ready, you know. I did that with Horizon and I watched the E3 demo and I was like, holy crap, and then I came back to it and I was like, yep, that does what it said it would do. I mean, incidentally, I wasn't really into the game, but it's incredible.
I think mine's God of War. As somebody who historically hasn't been a huge God of War fan, this one looks like it's doing something like really different, unique, and I'm just excited to see the way they tackle what ostensibly could be like a really amazingly told story. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm leaving off things that I don't think are coming out this year. Like I don't think The Last of Us or Death Stranding or Kingdom Hearts or Final Fantasy Remake are coming out this year.
Not
or
a chance.
Cyberpunk.
Would not think so either.
No. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I'd love to get some updates on Cyberpunk though.
Well, we do have a big,
anything.
Yeah, just say something.
We do have a big list of confirmed release dates for the first quarter of 2018. So I figured we could just run through those really quick. On January 23rd, we're getting The Inpatient and Lost Sphere.
Yeah. So Inpatient's the PSVR. That's the prequel to Until Dawn, set sort of in that
sanatorium. And you and I have both played that.
Yeah, the demo, I played it at PAX West, I believe. The demo I played was very jump scary.
Me too. And it almost looks cliche. The environment looks super different. But you need to see more. I think that's probably a hard thing.
I think I played a chunk of it at PSX that was like from the... Was that one? Was it the same demo? Or
yes.
Was that like where you were sort of being like wheeled around?
Were you in the press area, that one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
The game set in the press area?
I wasn't... No, someone... Yeah.
It was haunting.
Scariest.
No, but I wasn't being wheeled around in the mine, so I don't know what... Is that the same thing?
Maybe it was a different demo.
No, I was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
But maybe they had multiple demos.
Yeah, the demo I saw, like, you were in your room and you were walking around and checking stuff out and they kept bringing bologna sandwiches and you can eat them. You do that thing where you pick up bologna
sandwiches.
Yeah, so, like, that's what I'm saying is I think that there's a lot more kind of that they're, like, early demos are frequently very stripped down.
Yeah.
True.
I think the setting is, I kind of hate mental hospital settings in games.
It's a little rote. Yeah.
I don't know. I was hospitalized as a kid for depression and it sucks and it's terrifying, but completely in a different way from every horror trope mental hospital. And it just is one of those like, just get it right or just don't try, you know?
Yeah.
And I get that it's sort of old timey Victorian state hospital.
And I appreciated so much that the original Until Dawn was going on like cliches and tropes, but cliches and tropes of the genre that games haven't really delved into. Yeah. Like there's so few games that do feel like a 80s teen slasher movie. And so like, Until Dawn feeling like that, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, in a cabin in the woods kind of way.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, it's hard to say if Inpatient is going to capture that.
I just want them to do a non-PSVR game that's like Until Dawn, either in that same genre or maybe a different genre of horror. Like,
I'd love another horror game that is like that, but just in a different setting.
Yeah,
it can do more of those.
Yeah,
I mean, I will say that the mechanics of The Inpatient, from what I saw, were like really. Really stable. Like it felt like they finally all those different kind of variables of using move controllers and the VR headset to look at stuff and all the ways you can go about interacting with a game that felt the most like picking it up and just suddenly knowing what I was doing.
I think you can also play it with DualShock, just with DualShock. Yeah, so you have both options, which I think is important.
You can use voice too. Like there's a thing, when someone comes up to you and talks to you, and there's the sort of the two different, you know, dialogue options, you can just say like, you just dictate. You're like, I don't know how I feel about that. And then your character.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Which is using the onboard mic, which is,
that is cool.
Really neat.
That's going to be funny for like anyone you live with who's just like, what's wrong with you?
Also, they have like probably the grossest, skin color, selector I've seen, like the color, the character creator, you can pick like, you know, male, female. And then it shows like,
there's a character. Really?
Yeah. Like what color are your hands going to be? Are they going to be man hands or lady hands?
Ooh,
I think it also determines. I think it also determines what gender your roommate is. But like it's the way you pick the skin color. Normally it's like, oh, it's like a nice kind of like makeup palette, like a bunch of swatches. In this case, it is like looking at your hand through like a magnifying glass. Like, ew. When it's just really gross, and you're like, oh, cool, pores and hair. I don't need to see that.
That seems on brand for a horror game. Yeah. That seems good.
It's wonderfully like medical. It kind of it fits the setting.
Huh.
Anyway, also out that day is Lost Sphere.
Yeah,
it's Tokyo RPG Factory's new game. The guys behind I Am Setsuna, they're kind of an offshoot of Square Enix. And this game was announced a little later last year and has kind of come together. Like, we saw it right before E3, I guess.
Yeah, and we had it on our live show.
And it's come together, I feel like, really quickly. Uh-huh. And these guys do a really great job. I don't know if anybody here played Setsuna, but that game specifically was meant to feel like... a tribute to Chrono Trigger.
It's on Switch, right?
Yeah.
I played it on Switch.
And they really nailed that feel, and this one is, I feel like they're going for more of like a Secret of Mana vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, huh. And that game was set primarily in the winter. This game is set primarily in...
Spring?
Maybe? I forget.
They're doing a season thing.
But it's a second season, It's like a spiritual successor to that game, which was a great 16-bit feel RPG, but with like really beautiful 3D graphics.
So I was excited for this, and then all of a sudden in that one Nintendo Direct we saw Project Octopath Traveler, and then that demo got released, and I was like, well, this is, I'm just
Octopath
way more
Traveler
excited for this.
Octopath Traveler seems to be doing the same sort of thing, but in a more innovative way, whereas these games are like straight up like 16-bit turn-based RPG clones.
Yeah.
Like Octopath Traveler is taking that formula and like twisting it in a really interesting way.
It's like through a 2018 lens.
Yeah, but that's not to say that these games aren't great in their own right, because I do feel like Setsuna scratched an itch for me that it feels like a 16-bit RPG, and I feel like Lost Sphere is much the same way. Mm-hmm. So
they're just intentionally retro.
On the 26th, we're getting Dragon Ball FighterZ, which is going to be awesome. That is, of course, the Arc System Works, the guys who do BlazBlue.
BlazBlue.
Is it really BlazBlue?
I believe it's BlazBlue.
I think it's BlazBlue,
It's terrible. this is 3v3, kind of cel-shaded look, Dragon Ball Z fighting game, which I'm so excited.
Incredible.
It looks so stupidly good.
It's ridiculous. Like, in motion. What?
So I did a demo of this at E3. I don't know if I talked about it on here or not, but we were doing the demo and we're kind of talking through it, and someone's, you know, playing off stage. And, you know, at that point, it was very early build, and it's like they're not going to show us the whole roster. Not going to reveal everything. I'm asking kind of like very sort of like, you know, fluffy softball questions like you do, just to kind of be like, show the game off, like tell us more about this. And and then I'm like, I'm seeing a lot of environmental damage here, and it's like the end of the match and someone's playing as Frieza, and as I'm saying this, Frieza jumps into space and shoots an energy ball at the Earth and blows it up. And I was like, oh yeah, there's environmental damage down to destroying the entire planet. You did a fatality on Earth.
Classic Frieza.
That does seem like a Frieza move.
Like, I'm like so happy that we're getting that properly in a DBZ game.
Hey, what about this though? Piccolo. I don't know anything about Dragon Ball.
he's green. He's a Namekian.
Yeah, he is.
He is a Namekian.
No, that's going to be, that game's going to be great. I hope they keep
in your force.
I hope we get like just an endless stream of DLC, and I hope they go into like just the most D-list, like,
get like Mr. Satan in there.
Hell yeah, dude. They got to put Mr. Satan in there.
Where's that Yamcha?
Yamcha's in
there. I want Chaozu.
Is a support for Tien. So
I've liked most of the Dragon Ball fighting games that I've played, but the problem is that I couldn't tell you what the names of them were because it's just a grab bag of, so I'm like, I've played three, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what they were.
From Budokai forward, they had this weird kind of like 3D fighting scenario thing, and it was like,
well, I've done that. That was one of those with the character creator, which is actually pretty cool. You can make
that. I think that was the last Xenoverse, one. That was like Budokai.
There was Xenoverse 2.
Xenoverse 2 was the one with the character creator.
But that weird kind of like trying to fly and fight in 3D is just, I feel like it was never the best idea. and they kind of clung to that.
It felt to me like those virtual on games, like those mech one-on-one mech fighting games, where I'm like, I'm not feeling this.
Yeah, you know? No, I mean, it's exciting that they're just doing like, hey, it's a straight like 2D fighting game. It's going to be awesome.
Looks super cool.
Also coming out that day, big day, Monster Hunter World.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very excited.
The more and more I see this game, the more I'm excited for it.
I completely missed the beta because we were at PSX, I think.
I believe there's there was a second beta.
I think we missed
the second beta was over Christmas Eve.
Cool.
Or Christmas weekend, yeah. Awesome. So, yeah.
Well, whatever. We're 3 weeks away.
What is this game about?
It's where the internet doesn't exist. Yeah. But, yeah, it's really interesting that they're bringing this game to the PlayStation 4 as like their flagship Monster Hunter game, because Monster Hunter has primarily thrived on handhelds in the past. This game isn't coming to Vita. It's not coming to 3DS. It's not coming to Switch. This is a PlayStation game. So I think Capcom, the idea that they have two betas, the idea that there's this huge marketing push right now, is I think they're a little bit worried about this game, A, not performing as well as other Monster Hunter games because it's not on a handheld platform.
It is a very handheld-friendly game.
Sure. Yeah, and B, from what I've heard, this game is not super forgiving in terms of learning curve if you're new to the franchise, which is a little bit, like, I've tried so many times to get into the Monster Hunter series, and each time it's been like, I have no idea what's going on, and this game does not do a great job
of walking through a tutorial. You kind of need someone to play it with. But I'm mostly excited about this because I know more people who regularly play PS4s than I ever did with DS.
Sure.
So it's like more of my friends are going to be playing this.
Yeah, our very own Casey DeFreitas has offered a ton of us in the office, like, hey, let me know if you're going to jump online and play when it's out, and I'll walk you through it.
Which I thought,
That's rude.
I thought that was disrespectful.
Yeah. Imagine she'll probably be the one.
Casey DeFreitas to play.
Yeah.
out 1:30, we're getting Dissidia Final Fantasy NT.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the follow-up. It's a follow-up to Dissidia Final Fantasy 98 Special Edition.
Yeah.
And coming up next year, we're going to get Dissidia Final Fantasy XP.
Yeah.
Mm. Talk about games with a learning curve.
That was
curve.
Windows jokes.
Yeah,
that was good. Talk about games with a learning curve. Dissidia Final Fantasy just looks
When we
so
tried to play that game in Japanese at an arcade, sort of drunk, that was not great.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah. Weird.
That didn't work great? Wow.
1, 2, 3. Yep. It is a fighting ass fighting game. And it's like, speaking of like flying around in 3D and just like, it's crazy what that game looks like in motion. And the fan service is like through the roof. Like, there's tons of like awesome throwback characters. And I've never been a Dissidia guy.
We have different definitions.
Fan service.
You can punch Prompto hard enough that all of his clothes fly off.
Yeah.
I wasn't talking about boobs.
Well, do fans
there's tons of fan service. It's incredible.
I just meant fan service in the way of like fans of the genre. Will be like, great.
Yeah. Fans of the genre are going to love memories. Wait, I've never heard of fan service as a boob thing.
That's not an anime thing.
It is. It started as a sexual.
You know what like the bathhouse thing? The bathhouse.
I've been
episodes?
To bathhouses. Yeah.
Okay. Shocker. I didn't even know that.
I've never been to a bathhouse.
Could you kick you out for clogging all the drains
in
your hair?
What comes out in February, Max?
All right. On the 6th of February, we're getting Shadow of the Colossus.
Speaking of hairy beasts,
this is yeah,
nice.
This is the best looking game I think I've ever seen in action.
It's pretty amazing.
We were talking to people at PSX, and it would be like on a TV in the background, and I would just do this like, and I would just start staring at it, and I can't figure out what exactly it is that looks so great.
The scale.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that it looks that great. Like, I wouldn't say it looks better than Horizon, which I think is a gorgeous game,
but I think it's
more impressive because it's like, whoa.
It looks realistic in a way Horizon doesn't. Like, Horizon looks like a video game. It looks like a gorgeous video game, but this looks, there's something about like the grass in Shadow of the Colossus looks like the hair and the particle effects, real crappy grass.
Are you talking about in the original?
No, in the new one. It looks real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like the skyboxes look like actual sky, not like idealized, cool video game weather system sky, or like, oh, this grass is very impressive. It moves around. More like, oh, this turf looks like beat to hell because no one's taking care of it because monsters are walking all over it.
Yeah. We had an opportunity to play through a couple of the Colossi at PSX, and graphically stunning. Brian and I did a conversation on this that you can find online, but the game itself still feels exactly the same, which is
good and bad.
Yeah, exactly. Like, nostalgic for sure, but also like that game is definitely a 2005 game with a fresh coat of paint.
They added more grundles, though.
There are several more grundles.
Every creature has a grundle.
I'll be curious to see what people that didn't get an opportunity to play this game upon initial release, what their impression is playing this game now, because
I think the camera is
oh,
tough.
It's butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that camera. That camera's Grendel for
it's
sure.
It's fewer butt. Yeah. It's fewer butt than the original, but it's still butt.
How's the frame rate's pretty good on this.
Frame rate's great. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Frame rate's great.
So I think that'll be
and I'm excited to play it with the new updated controls. I haven't got to do that yet.
But the updated controls, like, that's one of the things that I feel like they really touted, like, oh, we've changed the control scheme. And in our minds, we're like, great, that control scheme was bad. But now what that means is instead of pressing triangle to grip, you just press R2. And instead of, like, it's just button mapping. It's not necessarily, like, different physics.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I screwed around with the HD collection when it came out.
Yeah, PS3.
And I think they had updated controls for that, sort of, and I played with that, but I didn't, you know, go through the whole thing, so
let me just say, like, I'm being harsh on it, but this is one of my favorite games of all time, and I will absolutely be playing it day one.
Same.
Cool. On February 13th, we're getting Owlboy, which was fun little like PC platformer, Metroidvania, darling.
Yeah, Chloe loved it.
Secret of Mana is getting the HD remaster. This is getting a physical release, I just saw. Holy crap, I'm excited about this. I just, like, this is one of those games that I was never, like, primarily a Secret of Mana kid. Like, I always really loved Link to the Past and Secret of Evermore, which was, like, the American kind of bastardized version of Secret of Mana. Yeah.
Very nice dog.
But I still have, like, fond memories of just that whole, like, fun little beginning area with all the rabbits.
Rabbits.
No, it's one of the first enemies you fight is a rabbi.
Mario and rabbis?
Mario and rabbis?
I'm playing a lot of that over Christmas break. It was weird.
All right.
I'd play that. Yeah.
If you go back to the E3 episode we did, I don't know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Crossing Souls is a game I couldn't shut up about.
Yeah.
This is
so cool.
If there was an 80s Saturday morning cartoon of Stranger Things, and they made a 16-bit RPG based on it.
Yep.
That's basically what this is, but it's just...
That's really legitimately cool. Like the most perfect description.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's got all that... Like, I'm very fussy about like the kind of the 80s nostalgia angle, but this is like... It's kind of like a group of Burger King Kids Club-esque kids hanging out, and one of their friends is a ghost. And there's a bunch of weird stuff going down in your town, and it's got hand-drawn animated cutscenes.
Yeah,
it looks gorgeous. I'm so excited. It's made by like a super small team of I think Spanish developers.
Yep,
that'll be really cool. Kingdom Come Deliverance, is that one that's like Battlefield but with medieval stuff?
It's like super realistic. Medieval stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think I previewed this in like 2014,
yeah,
maybe.
Like Jared,
it's been coming for a long time.
Yeah, I actually think it's
Kingdom Coming
probably going to be surprisingly popular. I imagine this is a game that like really blows up.
The coverage on that has done really well for us.
It's really funny because we've booked it on our live shows the last couple of years, and each time it's one of those things where it's like, we have a slot, these guys want on, like, sure, let's throw them a bone. And then every time it does like 300,000 views, and it's like, oh, right, I forgot that this game is like, I got this subculture of people that are like super stoked to play it. My favorite story about this game was they were on our Gamescom live show, and they were talking about how realistic the combat is. The super, just incredibly realistic combat. And as the guy was saying it, the character that he was controlling shoots another guy in the head with an arrow. And the guy falls over, but then gets back up with the arrow sticking straight up his head. And I was like, well, close enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that guy would go on to rule a part of Europe, and he would be a famous aristocrat.
Indeed.
Jimmy Feathercap. February 20th, we're getting a game that people will be very angry at, regardless of how good it is or not, and that is Metal Gear Survive.
Pass.
I'm morbid curiosity play.
I'm going to play it. Yep.
Yeah. Worth noting, this is being like overseen by one of the guys who worked on the last like four Metal Gear games. Like he was tight with Kojima.
Johnny Sasaki.
it's a dude who I think he was one of the main guys on Revengeance. Mm-hmm. And
Revengeance was a pretty good game.
It was a good game.
Yeah. I mean, I think this good game soundtrack. Has a ton of potential. It's going to have Konami microtransactions. It's going to have Konami branding on it. It's not going to say Hideo Kojima anywhere in the game. People are going to get pissed off at it, but like the actual game itself, I think it's going to be kind of a Battlefront 2 situation where if you say anything remotely positive about it, you get torn apart in all the comments sections. So let us never speak of this game again.
Also, pass. I miss Left 4 Dead. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, if this game has a battle royale mode,
ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're talking about the future of 10 games this year. They're going to have a battle royale.
It sounds kind of great. Yeah. Anyway, and then sometime in February we're getting Moss,
yay,
which is the PSVR game about mice. Mm-hmm. It's adorable. There's actually a demo out for that.
Single mouse.
Feels like Redwall. Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
I like it a lot because I think it has done a good job of feeling like a VR game more so than a lot of others I played, in terms of there are two control schemes. There is you playing as the mouse and then you playing as this like spirit beast that you are. So there are these two separate systems that you have to remember, like a DualShock controller, and then there's the motion for when you're playing as the spirit, and you have to like constantly swap between those two things, and it makes you look at every environment in a way of like, wait, which of these two should I play this as? And it's really cool. It's very smart.
Yeah,
also great combat.
I'm also happy with, well, this and the next game we're going to talk about, PSVR is getting some pretty solid support.
Yeah, I mean, I said this, but PSX felt like half a PSVR convention. There was a lot of support coming for that. And even just, there's like, I went on the PSN store this morning, and it was like, I searched for most recent, last 7 days, what's come out this year. And they put up, there's a listing.
I would imagine
for,
that list was pretty short on January 7th.
There's one thing, and it's weird because you can't actually buy it, but it's that game Golem, which is coming out.
Yeah.
I think that also got a release date. I think it's in March.
It's in March.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. It's on the 6th, we're getting Bravo Team.
Which is also by Supermassive. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Until Dawn team.
How many teams does that company have?
I think the Until Dawn team was very big, and then I think they split it up into a bunch of micro teams for Inpatient, for Hidden Agenda, for Rush of Blood, and for this.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be so smart if they're sharing assets, too.
Totally.
It's like, don't make a gun five
times. Well, those games definitely
times.
Have a definitive look. Like, the Supermassive game looks like a Supermassive game. You know, so.
And this one's not spooky. This is more just... I mean, as you can tell by Bravo Team, it's just men shooting.
Men shooting can be pretty
spooky sometimes too.
Oh yeah,
nothing spookier than war.
Spooks in that.
No, there's haunted houses.
Yeah, going to go in and shoot.
I didn't
the ghost
think about.
In the head.
I didn't think about haunted.
What about haunted houses when men shoot each other?
Yeah, they have those.
How
is that just called laser tag?
Anyway,
yes.
So on the 13th of March, we're getting Golem, which is that. Other PSVR game where you control
it's one
a big
Marty O'Donnell's team.
Yeah.
And so, that's
the guys behind Halo.
Yeah, a ton
Jamie
of former
Wismer.
Jamie Griesmer, a ton of former Halo talent. And this was, I think Ryan was saying, Zach, you did the IGN first for this.
Yeah,
I think
March
it's the
of
earliest,
2016.
The earliest IGN first we may have done for a game. So 2 years before the game came out.
Yep.
Except for Scalebound, which never came out.
And then also that day, we're getting the Devil May Cry collection, which is, which one is, how many?
It's one, two, and three.
All right.
But then we have a news item later on that this might be signaling some more news for Devil May Cry.
I was going to say, I think this definitely means we get a new Devil May Cry game this year. Or announced,
cool.
At least.
Didn't they do an HD collection for Devil May Cry?
Yes,
or
they did.
Last gen.
For last gen. For PS3? Okay.
On the 20th of March, we're getting Yakuza 6. I'm so excited about this game.
You like Yakuza?
Yeah, I know.
What?
If you told me this a year ago that I would be this excited about this game, I'd be like, I don't know about that.
Huh. I'm really excited for this one. Because everything you've said about Yakuza has been awesome sounding. It all was one of those, like, I'm going to wait until there's too many games. I'm going to wait until 6, like the proper sequel comes out.
If you are, if you've been holding off on Yakuza, I feel like this is a pretty safe bet because it's going to be made for the PS4 from the ground up.
People sure love Zero this year, or last year, I guess.
I saw a clip from, I think it was Zero Kiwami, where like a guy, a wall falls down, and it turns out there's a set with all these men wearing diapers, and like the woman is like the mother, and it's like this weird sexual thing that he walks into of like a bunch of like salary men wearing diapers who
sounds
are like
some Yakuza
finding
stuff.
Like sexual pleasure in like the, in acting like a baby, like around
I
a
I don't remember
mistress.
That part, but
I watched the clip, and I'm like,
happened,
man, I don't know what these games are about.
It's a lot of stuff in those games.
That seems memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of side quests there too. I never finished this whole side quest of the very horny man who likes to have sex a lot. I don't remember what
it's called. Yeah, he dresses up as a baby.
His name is called Mr. Libido.
Is that the guy's name? I think it's
something like that.
I don't know if you're joking, but
you're talking about in Yakuza Zero.
I didn't. I was too busy.
Yo,
trying to.
Are you talking about Henry Horndog?
Yeah,
hardcore Henry, if you will. All right, on the 23rd.
I was going to make a funny joke, but I'd have to swear. So
no cussing. No cussing. Brian's not here. We don't have to cuss. On the 23rd, we're getting A Way Out, the Yosef Fares game from EA. I'm very curious to see how this actually handles when it comes out, because I feel like we've seen this thing so far over the past couple of years where there's like an EA indie darling that gets announced, and then it just gets a very long tail release behind it, and then when it finally comes out, people are like, it was okay.
I mean, talking specifically about like Unraveled.
Unraveled.
Faye. That's still not out. Faye is supposed to come out in first quarter too.
But Faye looks amazing to me, but A Way Out a little less so. Like I like the concept a lot, but
love the concept.
I don't know that it will be the Hitman-esque thing that it wants to be, because that's so difficult to do.
Yeah.
I don't think it wants to be Hitman.
Yeah, I don't think
it. Well, they're like, there are so many different ways for you to escape. Like, you pick up this thing, and then this thing happens.
I think it's more choose your
own
adventure.
What's that?
Yeah, is that Joseph?
Is that not how he sounds?
I don't think so.
No, I've spoken to him a couple of times.
Something about the Oscars.
Good impression.
You sound like the announcer at the Video Game Awards. You know, yeah. Sound like the man.
Was that not him? Jeff Keighley, right?
World exclusive.
I really love that because this game is all meant to be played in co-op, and then if you buy a copy, you get a token for the second copy. So
that's cool.
Yeah, you buy a copy, and then you give it to your pal that you want to play with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like Friendship Rings, the game.
It is like Friendship. Yeah. Promise Rings, the game.
Yeah. Anyway, also out that day is Ni No Kuni 2. Revenant Kingdom?
That's right.
Yeah.
The Revenant.
Yeah, I'm very curious about this because I really like the first one on the account of it being such a, like a Pokemon kind
of
game.
Yeah, I love. Yeah. So this one is so much less of a Pokemon game. Fewer of a Pokemon game, but it still looks awesome. Like, I loved the first game. I am a little bit concerned about. I was talking to Justin Davis earlier today about. I don't know that I have the time to play JRPGs anymore. Like, it's. Yeah. I don't know that I have the time to commit 60 hours to any one game. You know what I mean? Like, or I have to pick and choose the games that I'm going to do that for because I'm 60 hours into Persona 5 right now and I love it.
You're halfway.
But it's like,
there.
Exactly.
That's why I've only put in 7 hours. Of this game. It's terrifying.
Like, yeah.
So it makes you wonder. We see these, like, the kind of the updated versions of Final Fantasy games that got put out on you know, PS4 and iPhone, and they have, like, the avoid random encounters. They basically have easy mode, they have cheats built into them. And will we ever see that with, like, full releases, like, or, like, new games?
Yeah. Look for that when Revenant Kingdom comes to your iPhone in 2024.
I mean, in Nia, if you play, I think it's any difficulty, actually, there's a button that is called auto chips, and it means that the game plays itself.
Yeah.
But you don't actually have to engage in the combat, you automatically dodge. Like, that's for people who don't want to do that. And I used it twice in encounters where they were so button mashy that my finger was starting to hurt. So I was like, auto chips for a second, recover, and then go back.
Easy so I could eat hummus.
I mean, it's.
That's an option for auto chips.
This is Marty thing I've ever heard.
No, it's great because the 2B starts fighting, 2B and 9S start fighting the robos, and I'm just there noshing on some hummus.
There you go.
All right.
There I was eating a pickle sandwich.
No, you have the toast and the pickle.
There
on the
I
side.
Was, me and my good friend smoked Gouda.
Oh! Are you kidding?
No, that's what you
no.
sound.
No,
yeah, it's great.
No, I mean, that sounds like a stupid complaint, but, like, seriously, these are, games are, like, massive, massive time sinks, and, like, I don't know. I feel like most people play them for the story and for, like,
yeah, and
character customization.
My thing is there's something to be said about when you play a game over the course of several months. Like, I'm like I said, 60 hours into Persona 5, and I'm getting to a point now where, like, I've been texting Marty and Andrew about, like, updates or where I'm at in the game, and it's weird for me to say that to them because they finished that game in April. You know what I mean? And so it's like you get to a point
where Andrew finished it three times.
Yeah, where you're talking about a game like
doesn't sleep.
We did this with Bloodborne too, where I went back and finished Bloodborne at the end of the year, and then people were like, "Why are you talking to me about this right now?" Like, I beat that game so long ago. Why are we talking about this? So
I had a friend who started playing The Witness, and he was asking me about how does this thing work? And I was like, I don't remember anything about that.
Yeah, no
like,
way.
I remember getting through the game, and then I had like a
those
panic
weird triangle
attack.
Puzzles.
I don't remember how any of those rules work. Yeah. I put it on iPad.
So over break, I played Gorogoa, which is a fantastic puzzle game on Switch and iOS and PC. Mm-hmm. And I was playing that, and it's got a lot of, you know, tricky puzzles. You got to figure out. It's very kind of Witness-esque in some parts. And I would be stuck on something, and my fiance Jen would be like, "Oh, you need help?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, sure." And she'd pick it up, and she'd be like. I was like, it came out 2 weeks ago. How did you forget this already? Like, how did you not? I don't know how that just. Anyway, no. Out on March 27th is Far Cry.
I put 6. I meant 5.
You're optimistic. Yeah, Far Cry 6. I think
I'm,
is going to be surprised.
Going out with Far Cry as well, though. Yeah. I keep being like 4. Nope. 5. Like, I don't know anymore.
Montana 1.
Just do the Assassin's Creed thing where you just chuck a word on it. Okay. Montana.
Big Sky Country.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Far Cry America.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this game.
Me too. I'm so stoked for this.
I think they did the same thing with Assassin's Creed, where it's like, it's been just long enough since I played a Far Cry game that I'm totally on board for this.
Yep.
Was it Primal was the last one? That was last year?
Yeah, the beginning of 2016.
Last year, yeah.
Yep. Early last year? Yeah, damn. Feels like
early 2 years.
Early 2 years.
Yeah,
right?
So, yeah,
what year was that?
Wait, there wasn't a Far Cry game last year?
No, I think Primal was
2016. No, Primal was 2016, yeah.
Yeah, that was a minute ago. So,
Four was 2015.
Bring it on. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the game we're all most excited about as huge sportsman fans is the MLB The Show.
All right, I put that on here because it is a first-party game. Sony San Diego. It's a first-party studio.
Now, is this a baseball game with the horrifying nightmare faces glitch?
No, was that basketball? I think it was basketball.
Was it basketball?
The NBA had that.
I don't know anything about sports.
But also, why is it called The Show? Is that a person, like a wrestler called The Show?
No.
Is that also in MLB?
That's what sluggers refer to the big games as.
The Show?
I don't actually know. I honestly don't know. I follow baseball.
It's not a wrestler?
Listen to me about anything that I say about sports ever. Yeah.
And I just put this on here because also, A, they're like, it's the only baseball game. Yeah, it doesn't have a baseball game. And B, they're just good every year.
Yeah, that's true. Year, so. We always are kind of surprised, I don't know why, but when the MLB The Show reviews come in, it's like, oh, 8.5, 9.0. And it's like, oh, well, okay, that must be a very good baseball
show. What is the show?
The game. The show the is
enjoyment
the game.
Of the
Jackson's King Kong
just
the
call it MLB.
the show.
The show is an acronym.
Oh, for what?
Sports. The sexy hot. Oh, wow.
Oh, now I want to play it. Now you explained it. Yeah. Let's play MLB, guys.
All right.
The sexy hot. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot of games coming out in the first quarter of 2018. Yeah. I'm excited about it. I honestly, I feel like I was kind of like, what's coming out this year? And you always kind of go to like the big stuff that's coming out down the way. Oh, we also might get. Do we know we're going to get Red Dead? When is that coming?
I mean, so that's the thing is, they said, like, these are just the dated things. Yeah. So Faye might be in here. Maybe one of the Sony first party games like Detroit or God of War.
I mean, I feel like if that's the case, like they got to announce it right now. Like,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. And it's the only sort of major stuff that isn't coming out to a Sony platform on this was like Sea of Thieves comes out in March. But like other than that, like none of the big Nintendo games are dated. Well, none of the big Nintendo games have names yet.
Yeah, yeah, it's like Yoshi. Kirby. Yeah.
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 Maybe a Pokemon.
So moving on here, Atlus announced a bunch of stuff at like Christmas Eve and Andrew was, you know.
He wrote it himself like a weird Scrooge. I guess the opposite of a Scrooge.
That's why he was working on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, they seriously did announce all this on Christmas, right?
But there's three major things, and one is that the Catherine PS4 remake, PS4 and Vita remake is real. It's called Full Body. They say it's like The Wine, but I think it's like The Naked, because that game's all about sex.
The Naked, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, they got a logo for this, and it's like this weird like pink shape, and it says Catherine Full Body, and I was like staring at it and trying to figure out what it's supposed
panties.
To be.
Yeah,
is it panties?
Yeah.
It's like, butt. Which, is it the butt?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought it was like the front. I was like, I don't know what's going on down there.
No, it's if no, you the watch the if you watch the reveal trailer at
doing
the
that
end,
thing where you make the face of the camera, Lana.
At the end, there's a close up of the butt, and then it says Catherine, and then the body fades away, and it's just the logo.
Oh yeah, I didn't watch the trailer because I'm at work, and that's a rude game.
Thank you for explaining female anatomy to me, you guys. I was very confused. Also,
everybody has a butt. I wasn't about.
It looked like
right.
It could be Vincent's
right.
butt. He was like a skinny man.
Yeah, he's pretty petite.
You and I have been talking about whether or not. They would make whether or not they would remaster Catherine for PS4.
Really glad they are.
We've been like kind of keeping our fingers crossed for years because that one of the first things that Marty and I bonded over was the fact that like we're one of nine people that ever played this game.
That's so, just like freak out about it.
Yeah. So I'm super stoked, and it seems like they're adding a host of stuff. Yeah.
So I was super surprised that this isn't just like you can play it on PS4 now. Like it's going to be cross save PS4 and Vita, which is insane. That in late 2018, possibly early 2019 in America, we're going to get a Vita game. But it's Studio Zero is developing it, which is that core Persona team, which has now moved on to Project ReFantasy. But clearly they're also doing this. And then they're adding a third girl. So instead of it's Catherine with a C, Catherine with a K, and then a girl named Ren.
Uh-huh. Glad they stuck with that naming convention.
It did. Well, that's to make everything confusing.
They should have done Blathrin.
Hey, I'm really attracted to Blathrin, everything but her name. Just
yeah,
really, you
that's blonde Catherine.
Yeah.
There's already a blonde Catherine. Well, this is Blathrin. Deal with it.
Yeah,
I hope they still have the... like percentage things where you could see what other people said. Like that was like one of my favorite things about it. And I think that will be different now when dating apps are way more prevalent. Like I just imagine that the moral answers that people come up with from those will be different now.
I will always like, I was playing this with my ex and we had just started dating. And so it was so weird to be like, I really hope you agree with me on this, but I'm totally going to cheat on this one. Like, I hope this is going to be fine. It was fine. It was fine. But so they're adding, I mean, aside from clearly a third scenario by having a third choice with who this girl is, but then also the game has had a weird shelf life of a ton of competitive online speedrunning play. And it's
which
sort of
is
like,
weird because
it wasn't
no
built
competitive
in the game.
Mode, yeah.
And so they're actually adding like an online sort of multiplayer mode, and then new puzzle mechanics and everything. So.
Catherine is a game that was built without a competitive, like without a head-to-head mode that has shown up at Evo for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And now they have one built in, and like the whole fighting game community is like, well, this is nuts. This totally changes how we structure that part of our competition.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. But I also love that Atlus saw that and was like, yeah, we could do that for you. Mm-hmm. Like,
cool.
Yeah. The other Catherine stuff was they announced that Persona Dancing Moon Knight, which is the Persona 3 dancing game, and Star Knight, which is the 5 dancing game, are coming out in May on in Japan on PS4 and Vita. And then if you buy a Super Collector's Edition, you also get a PS4 port of Persona 4 Dancing All Night.
Yes. So let me say, in terms of instead of Andrew Goldfarb, in his stead, I should say, these games are awesome. I know, like, we have a tendency to kind of chuckle about Andrew's undying love for Persona. These Persona 4 or the Persona 4 Dancing All Night game on Vita is incredible. It's like a great rhythm game, but it's also a visual novel. Yeah. Like 70% of that game is about the story and about the characters. And that game is weird because it's like sort of this mashup, whereas these two games look to be very specific about 5 and 3.
Yeah.
So it could be like a really cool continuation of those stories.
Also, they're all different clothes, they all look very cool.
Outfits are very exciting. I love them all.
And then the last thing is Persona 5. The animation is coming out in Japan in April. It's starting in April. It is going to be the anime series of Persona 5.
They've given Japanimation.
They've given the main character.
It's actually pronounced Japanime.
Main character is now canonically named Ren Amayami.
Amamiya.
I'm really worried about this because
Organa,
Andrew,
you idiot.
Andrew is quite certain that Makoto is going to be the canonical girl that he goes for, and I don't like that at all.
Makoto. The interesting thing about like Persona 3.
We got real sexually charged when we talk about outfits.
Persona 3 and Persona 4.
Can I join you, Alana?
Yeah, y'all do a stare. Persona 3 and Persona 4 anime are really cool because they tell the same story but take like liberties. So I'm really interested to see. It's almost like a director's cut of the games.
Well,
so,
it focuses on different like side characters that you have relationships with that you may have missed. Like maybe him and the gun store guy that ended up kissing one night.
Persona 4 is on Hulu now. You can watch it on Hulu.
Is it? Well, yeah. I just want to play Persona 5. All right, we're done.
All right, cool. Anyway, Fumito Ueda's new thing, Gen Design, which is this is the D'Amico guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is like, yep.
Yeah. All right.
Teased an image. I love it when there's like a game coming out and we get an image. It's always a nice treat.
It's a very Japanese thing.
Well, this one was like a tricky image too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a very long image. And then it sort of had like a drip. It's darkness and then a drip coming from the top. And then when you get to the bottom, there's just like a beam of light shining on like a very like white, pristine, like lit up princess, which I'm like, all right, this looks like Ico and that sort of stuff. And then to the right hand side is a giant human looking scary ogre hand.
Big hands.
I don't know what's going on with that hand. I don't like it. But apparently in the source code, the image is titled Beauty and the Beast 2018, which might, like thematically, I could totally see them making sort of a thing. I mean, that's kind of Beauty. I don't know. It kind of sounds like a mix of Ico and The Last Guardian.
Yeah.
And Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah. So does that kind mean of that, similar themes there.
Yeah. Does that mean that they're going to announce it or show us that game in 2018? Because there's no way that a Ueda game is coming out.
It's a tale as old as time, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Well, I mean, that's another game to look forward to, you know, just to keep you waking
up dead by
day
then.
After day. You never know. Devil May Cry, maybe getting a new thing?
Yeah. The one of the men behind Devil May Cry and Dragon's Dogma, shout out to Dragon's Dogma, tweeted out, Happy New Year. I'm sorry that I cannot present the next project last year. The development of the project is now under climax, which I think means far along and not an orgasm.
I assume that means near the end.
Yes. I mean, some things climax really early.
Did he mean crunch?
I don't know. He said climax.
That's a really, I don't...
And he says he's making a great game, and so he's very excited for it. So please expect it.
All right.
Dragon's Dogma.
I totally think it's just going to be a Devil May Cry.
I think you're probably right. I would also really like to get Dragon's Dogma Online to come to the West, but that's a whole other fight. So,
yeah.
Dragon's Dogma.
Take it up with the government.
Dragon's Dogma 2.
We have kind of speculated that there's a new Devil May Cry in the works for a while now. We've heard some
rumbles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine they get rid of new Dante, like it goes back to old Dante, because that was so divisive.
I think it would be Dante and Virgil, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We got our PS Plus games for this month. Deus Ex, Mankind Divided, and Batman the Telltale Series on PS4.
Those are two really solid.
Yep.
Like, Mankind Divided, I feel like was a really good game that no one played.
That came out in, didn't it come out in like early fall?
Yeah, August, I think it was like an August game.
Played about 2 hours of that game?
Of 2016, yeah.
That's a dense game. That's like a lot to take.
It is. The design is really interesting in that you can kind of finish a side quest before you've been given the quest. Like, you can conveniently go loot somewhere and get this, like, sweet diamond that someone wants, and then you give it to them. They're like, oh, you already did it. Like, it's planned for you to be able to do things out of order, and I think that's really cool.
It's neat.
It doesn't block off any areas based on the quest, aside from the main story. You can just kind of do everything.
And Batman the Telltale series is kind of nuts, because that, like, just came out, didn't it?
This would be season one.
I mean, the final episode. Whatever.
But it's already on season two.
I know, but this is season one.
This is season
one.
So the entire season one is going to be free.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which is smart because season two is currently underway.
Mm-hmm. That's very smart then. Yeah. And then if you're still playing PS3, we got Sacred 3. The hell is that?
I've played a lot of Sacred in my time.
What is it?
Very hack and slashy type thing. You like go between different environments and you have to get to the end, and it's almost like a Gauntlet kind of.
Okay.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking. I was thinking
very party based.
I was thinking of that pirate game. You know what I'm talking about?
Not quite like Risen. I know the pirate game you're referring to. No, it's more like Gauntlet. And I like those games, but they're also just like a giant time sink.
So. I just don't play it. Don't just play something else.
And then, I like Sacred
3. Yeah, and then on PS3, The Book of Unwritten Tales 2. Meanwhile, if you are a PS4 or PS Vita player, Psycho Pass Mandatory Happiness is coming out for both of those things.
Good title.
Uncanny Valley is coming to PS Vita and PS4. Is that the one little... God, I think I played a bunch of this. It's like a weird little kind of side-scroller adventure game. Or not adventure game, but like it's very, very surreal, almost survival horror-ish.
Whoa.
I don't know.
I don't know, but I know people like it.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it.
It's on Vita and PS4, and it's free this month. And then finally, for PSVR, Starblood Arena is coming out. That's available January 2nd through March 6th, which is really good because this is a multiplayer game, and it means that you need to play with other people. So if it's free for everybody who has a PSVR headset, then great. That means everyone can play together, and it's fine
totally
and good
expecting
and wonderful.
In 2018, there is going to be a free PSVR game every month.
I would hope so. But yeah, on that note, I wanted to do a quick shout out. Eric Smith in our Facebook group asked, I just picked up a VR at PSVR over the holidays. Can you and Brian, who's not here, talk about your favorite games and must-buys for the platform? I get this question a lot, so like really quick, I just wanted to give kind of shout outs to Eagle Flight, Super Hot VR.
Super.
super.
It's a requirement.
Nog and I think Batman are all like pretty good, like kind of cross section of what you can do with that. More recently, I picked up Accounting Plus, which is the game from
Justin Roiland
and William Pugh, who made the Stanley Parable.
Gross.
This game is awesome. It's super short and weird. It works incredibly well, and it's funny because it has the most rough around the edges, like weird improv comedy voice acting I've ever heard in a game, but all of it works. Like, it's not one of those games that's like, hey, it's kind of janky, but you'll have fun with it.
Is it like Job Simulator?
It's a little bit like Job Simulator. I'd say it feels more like an old point-and-click adventure game, but in VR.
Cool.
It's one of the funniest games I've ever played. They made this game because they want people to play it. I think it's like $10 now. They're probably going to just try to get it out there.
It's one of those things. If you like the humor of Rick and Morty, you're going to like this.
It's got the PlayStation Plus logo in the logo, so it'll probably show up out there at some point, I feel like. Also free, if you're on a budget, is Rec Room. This game is really important because it is probably the biggest cross-platform VR game out there. This is out for... It's in like kind of loose beta on PSVR, but you're connecting with people who are on Oculus and Vive.
Oh,
and
interesting.
I think they're trying to even open up to other stuff, but I jumped into this, and it's very like kind of feels like a cross between like a kind of Wii Sports type of thing, but also a chat room. And it was very strange to be in this environment. They're like, all right, we're going through a tutorial here, let's pair you up with somebody. And this person like started talking to me, and I was like,
I've seen a lot of people on the internet at the moment talking about something that's just called VR chat.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, though.
I need to look that up. I feel like that doesn't exist on PSVR yet, but right. It's basically, I love the idea, and we're finally reaching that point of this sort of, snow crash, William Gibson, Matrix-y, like, here, you have a physical component in this virtual world, and people are getting weird with mods and stuff, and I feel like Rec Room is definitely the closest thing that we have to that on PSVR so far.
Right.
I kind of want to try to make a friend on there. I think I want to hop on there and just start talking to strangers.
That'd be nice.
It's really weird to do it in my house though, because I have like my VR in my living room, and I had the mic on, and there were like people in the other room talking, and I was just very scared of them just talking and people in this strangers on the internet just overhearing. Because in a regular chat room where you're typing, nobody can hear what's going on behind you, you know?
Yeah.
But to like have like information from inside your house leak into cyberspace
is interesting. Yeah. I wonder if VR chat rooms or social spaces will end up changing the way microphones work. Like, will the technology or the hardware rather have to adapt to that software? Like, that's super interesting.
I kind of hope they tweak it a little bit, but I do want to screw around with that more. It's really weird. You have like a whole dormitory, and this is this social space where you can kind of mill around and talk to people, and it's it's just weird because, you know, think like an MMO chat or like, you know, kind of hub where people are just like spouting random stuff off. It's like that, but people are just talking to you, you know. And I walked in and there were people tickling someone. Like there was a person who was on the floor like rolling around, and these people were like, and it's all like these weird.
I was asking how
like
quick this became a sex thing, and
it's absolutely no. I had some foul things said to me. But the way you tell people to go away and leave you alone is you hold your hand up and make them talk to the hand. You hold your hand there and you just block people.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
So it just shuts them off.
That's a good system.
And
cool.
you make friends by shaking hands with them.
Mm.
It's really
cool. That is cool.
Like, and it's free. So if you got PSVR, jump on it and check it out.
Make friends with Max.
Yeah. Let's try to have like a weird stranger encounter.
You can
encounter.
Tickle each other.
And then there's another game called Sports Bar VR 2.0, which is exactly what it sounds like. It is a sports bar in virtual reality. It is, I think, unnecessarily difficult to control. The way you like turn around is just very, you have to like grab the universe around you and like twist it like this.
Mm. Oh, so it's like you're a god.
But you can also spawn, you can spawn like Nerf guns and bottles. So you can just be like standing there in the middle of this bar and you just like some weird drunk god just summon beer bottles to fall from the sky. And it's like,
that's cool.
And yeah, and there's just these.
Watch sports?
No, you play like skee ball and darts. Are there other people?
Oh, is that the one that has pool?
It's pool. It's hard to figure out. You feel it.
Yeah,
feels,
it looks very bad, yeah. But yeah, it's there.
I kind of love these like weird social spaces. I'm very happy that's the direction VR is going, because if it comes down to some kind of like bizarre Wii Sports chat roulette setup.
I mean, I absolutely totally think the social spaces are like one of the coolest things about VR. Like Werewolves was a really, really cool VR experience. And then there's these people that I didn't know that I just knew their usernames of, that by the end of playing with the same people for an hour, like I knew them. And I recognized their avatars, and every game it would switch. And I'd be like, wait a minute, that's not what you look like. It's just like, it's so much fun. You actually feel like you're making friends.
No, I think that there's a lot of people. I mean, that's why Facebook bought Oculus, because they want to do social stuff, not because they want to make, you know, first person shooters in VR. I mean, it's going to be like the fact that you have like a physical, you know, thing in this.
It's also because if you put ads inside of an Oculus headset, you can't click away. So it's got a lot of marketing power. But,
stare,
you know,
at me and let me tell you about,
like, look
the
at this
savings
for 3 seconds.
That I have in store.
Yeah.
Alana, Christian singles in your area, please.
Get that a lot.
Yeah.
Farmers only?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Anyway, real quick, we had a fun question from Morgan Venn in the Facebook group. I'm teaching myself lockpicking as a new skill for the new year. By the way, I hate video games for making that seem so easy. It's very hard. What video game skill would you like to learn and why?
Flight. Power of flight. Power of video game flight.
Ooh.
Just make my commute a lot shorter.
I'd like the ability to just add charisma points. Like, you can just, like, on a certain day, like, match your skills and be like, today I want plus 10 charisma and the ability to, like, have a percentage based on how much something will work. Like, you know, 95% chance that you'll bottle.
It's either, like Marty said, alcohol, or it's, like, weird pickup artist stuff that you probably shouldn't be doing. So just, yeah.
I don't want that.
You can get one of those big old hats, though. That'd be good.
What game? Yeah,
big old hat?
Yeah, like the pickup artists, they all wear those big hats.
What? Those big Welcome hats. To the magician's ballroom. Yeah. Today we will make love.
I mean, can I use, I want to learn to play guitar this year. Can that be an answer? People
That's
in video
not a video
games
game
play
thing.
Guitars.
Yeah, Guitar Hero?
Guitar Hero? Yeah.
That That's count not at all. Playing guitar.
I'm making it count.
All right.
What's another one? Rocksmith?
2018. Making it count.
Making it count.
I don't know. Knife throwing would be pretty cool.
There are places nearby that you can do axe throwing. I was thinking about organizing a thing. Oh, I definitely want to go axe throwing.
The side of my house.
Don't Wait, throw it at your house.
I got a fence too. I can do whatever I want. It's my house.
What video game skill do you want, Marty?
I don't know.
You want to be able to date On?
No, I think if I knew On in real life, I wouldn't want to date her.
Nah, probably not.
Why? Because she's in high school, you weird old man.
Yes, I just said I wouldn't. I don't know. I don't think she's like, I don't know. We'll get into it later.
But. All right.
taking this topic offline.
All right. And then Scotty,
see you in the VR.
Finally, to close this out, for 2018, the possibility of PS5 announced this year, maybe?
Three.
Absolutely.
Two, nah. No.
I think it's going to be mentioned this year. I don't think it's going to be announced. I don't think it's going to be revealed. I think they're going to mention it at E3.
What do you think they'll call it?
They're going to have some stupid Matrix sounding like fake name.
Project
Infinity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Project Trinity.
Project Matrix.
I do think it's going to come out next fall.
Next fall?
I don't think it's going to come out next fall. Yeah. I think they're going to start talking. No, I think they're going to start talking about it next year.
I think it's coming next fall. Everyone else thinks I'm insane, but that'll be 6 years. That's a long time.
No, you're
right.
That is true.
Well, we are constantly wrong about everything, so who knows?
Remember that time that you said you'd eat a mug?
Hey, plans are in works.
Yeah, you've been right. saying that for since months. E3.
Plans are actually in
One,
works.
One, two, uh-huh. 3 months.
No. Damn it. All right. I said no again.
Anyway, we're going to wrap things up. This was the first episode of Beyond of 2018. We'll have lots more of them on the way.
Probably like 50 or so?
I think maybe, or so.
Reckon.
Let's just call it, yeah, sure. Let's call it just an even 48.
A baker's dozen.
Yes, a baker's dozen. Anyway, you can find us all on Twitter. I'm Max Scova. Alana's Charlanazard. Zach Ryan is Zach Ryan.
What does D stand for?
Daniel. That's my middle name.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I so your name is Zach Daniels.
Just really like D.
Yeah, I'll give you a bottle of Zach.
Oh, Ziski, my favorite. And Marty is McBiggity with two G's and two T's.
Yes.
Yeah, and thank you all for listening. If you haven't already, head over to the Facebook group and make some friends. You know, it's a weird, crappy time of year. A lot of people get down because it's cold out and it rains or it's dark or you're sad or whatever. There's no more Christmas presents to look forward to.
Yeah,
so go to facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond and head over to the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/IGNBeyond, and subscribe for more wacky goodness today.
Pound that like button. Just get it a lot.
One, two, three. Pound. Yes.
Oh.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode, so search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over 1 million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.